Hello, this is Udo Dirkschneider, the singer of UDO, and you're listening to Sonic Prophetics.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another interview of Sonic Perspectives. I'm Rodrigo, and my guest today is a true pioneer of metal music, the one and only Mr. Udo Dirkschneider. Udo, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, we are here to talk about your new album, Game Over, the 17th album of UDO.
Yes.
Yeah, give us an overview of the album if you can.
Yeah, what can I say about the album? I'm really happy with this album. I mean, a lot of songs, 16 songs on the album. It was a little bit difficult to record the album during the pandemic time, you know. It was not possible for us to be in one room when we do normally the arranging and with our producer. So we did everything over the Zoom, Skype, WhatsApp, FaceTime, all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
And always have a conference, you know, and then talking about, okay, today we want to work on this song. And you always have to wait for a link, have to listen to that, to another conference. Yeah, and in the end, also the main recording then at the studio, I mean, that was also not possible to be here together in the studio, but that was only allowed to have two people, sound engineer and always one musician, you know. So that was also a little bit difficult, but what can I say about the album? I think there is a really good mix up of songs, you know, fast songs, mid-tempo songs, up-tempo songs, slow songs, ballads. And and for me, this album is a real band album. You know, everybody was really involved in that, working on that. And I'm really happy with the album.
Yeah, I remember you saying that recently that the new members, Tillen and Dee, collaborated with the album a lot. So it does feel like a band album as opposed to like a standalone type of thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I still remember seeing the cover of the first UDO album, Animal House, in magazines in 1987.
Oh, yeah.
Time just flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does, you know. Time is running so fast, you know. I mean, it's now, how long is that? It's 33 years again.
Yeah.
34 years. Blah, unbelievable. I mean, yeah, but... We're still there.
Yeah, we are. So the lineup of UDO is completed with Andrei Smirnov on guitars and your son Sven on drums.
Yes.
It must be quite a unique experience to work with your son in the same band. Can you tell me how that works?
Yeah, that worked perfectly. I mean, it's like not a father-son thing. It's more a friendship, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, he is a... on one hand, a band member, you know, it, of course, when he came into the band, in the beginning, the members of the band was a little bit like, oh, scared, you know, oh, the son of Udo is now in the band. No, I mean, I make that clear from the beginning on, you know, you don't have to be scared. I mean, if there's something happened or I have to talk, then we do this face to face. And he's doing a great job. And I mean, he's now also getting more and more into work with me. For the first time, I wrote all the lyrics together with him on this album. Mm. And also, he came up with some interesting melodies. And sometimes he said, you know, when we was working on melodies, then he said, oh, can you change it here a little bit? And I have another idea that maybe you can try that. Yeah, I mean, that was also something, you know, for me, very interesting and very helpful. And, you know, for me, it's like I'm not a kind of guy to say, OK, it has to be in this direction. That's it, you know. Mm. No, I'm really open minded with everything. And that, it's good. I mean, I have a really young band around me. Of course, they're thinking a little bit different music wise. coming up with more modern ideas and stuff like that. And for me, it's perfectly, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they push me also. And yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no, if I'm correct, I think you're turning 70 next year. And yes. it's not that often that people of your age embrace the young generation like you're doing now. So,
yeah, but I mean, I think it's a good thing, you know. I mean, when I was looking for a new guitar player, I mean, of course, it was for me easy to get well-known ones already, you know, maybe in the age of, I don't know, 50, 45 or whatever. But, you know, they already have, in English, they have their only direction, you know, they have their style. And with D, for example, when he came into the band, he was really unknown, young, open-minded to everything, and that's what I need, you know, to have somebody who, wow, yeah, is open-minded also to everything, and that's good.
Yes, absolutely. That does contribute to the end result, for sure. Yeah. And on Game Over, there is a powerful message about where mankind is going on the title track and throughout the whole album, I would say. Are you pessimistic about the future? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, of course, a little bit pessimistic about the future, you know, what's going on in the world now, you know. You know, we have all this fire in Europe going on, also California, in Russia. Then we had a big flood here in Europe, you know, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, Switzerland. So I think there is a lot of changing, climate's changing, you know. Some people still say, no, this is... Not really happened. No, it is happened. And I think we have to be careful, you know, in what we are doing. And I mean, the title fits perfectly with the album, Game Over. If we are not taking care of some stuff, then there will be a big game over, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope it's not game over for your career. I hope you're not thinking that it's your last album. No, right?
No. I mean, that was, of course... the people were thinking, maybe this is the last album, maybe this is the last tour, and then he retired. No. I mean, also Game Over, the title for the album came during the whole recording session, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of things, we had this word if in the first place in German. In German it's called Alles ist zu Ende.
Right.
In English it's like Game Over, you know. And then, I don't know exactly who it was, that said, you know, this pandemic stuff, a lot of things are game over, you know, we have to work like this, we cannot work like this anymore, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. And then we had this title, Game Over, and then we said, yeah, the perfect title for the album, let's do it.
Yeah, awesome. And one of the first singles is Metal Never Dies, which talks about tough times and also about your history in metal, right? That's the intention here.
Yeah, that's of course. I mean, Metal Never Dies, of course, in first place, this kind of music, in my opinion, will never die. You know, I mean, I see so many generations coming up and listen to this kind of music. And there is, in a way, on the lyrics, there is a little bit of my... own biography, you know.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I mean, I was start making music. I didn't have that much to say, but then I had a lot of things to say. So, that's good. I mean, why not, you know? Why not using your own career to make some lyrics up?
Absolutely, yeah. And Kids and Guns, tell me about that one. It's pure rock and roll, right? But who came up with the idea of addressing the theme of school shootings?
You mean the video?
Yeah, the school shootings. That's what it talks about, right? Kids owning guns and being able to freely.
Yeah, I mean, in general, it's like, you know, it's against weapons. I mean, it's better to talk to each other instead of killing each other, you know.
Oh,
yeah. And I mean, there are a lot of things happened with weapons. You know, let's say one thing is like in Africa. You know, they're kidnapping young boys in Africa. and making young soldiers out of them there, and then they kill people, and they are just 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
And also, you know, what happened on schools when young guys killing also people, it's not only happened in America, it was happened also here in Germany and some other countries, you know. It's in general against weapons.
Right, right. Prophecy, on the other hand, it's another song you made a video for, which is very graphic.
Yeah.
can you tell about that one and the concept of the video?
Let's say the lyrics are about, you know, I had to explain it a little bit different. I mean, I saw a documentation on TV here in Germany about hardcore sex, you know. Sadomaso, right. And I don't know, a lot of different things, scared things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also some people start talking, yeah, you know, wow, that would be great dying after having special sex. And I was like, hello?
What?
And yo, that was the idea. You said, why not talking about extremely sex, you know?
Right.
So, and then, of course, they have the lyrics, and then it was easy to make the video of it.
Yeah, yeah. And Don't Want to Say Goodbye, it's a great ballad. You're familiar for that, right? For putting like a great ballad in between the heavy songs. Mm. And I have to think you're talking about yourself in that song as well, right? Carrying on no matter what.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's a personal story what I had about this, but you can use this also for many reasons, you know. I mean, let's say if somebody dying, you don't want to say goodbye. If your girlfriend leaving you, your boyfriend, your wife, whatever, you know, then sometimes you just say, oh, I don't want to say goodbye, you know. And it's also like, maybe a more funny thing, you know, you're on holiday on a really nice place and the holiday is over and then you say, oh, I don't want to say goodbye, you know. I mean, I love this place. You know, you can use this in many directions, but it is definitely a personal thing behind that.
Right. And Holy Invader, another favorite of mine, it's about religious freedom and people trying to dictate what you should do or what you should not believe.
Yes. Yeah. At the moment, you know, you can explain this with Afghanistan, you know.
Absolutely.
They tell the people what kind of religion they have to do. I mean, this is impossible, you know. I mean, everybody is free to choose his own religion. Doesn't matter what it is, you know. And that's the whole story behind Holy Invaders.
Right. And with 17 studio albums now and a few accept songs that you play every now and again, it must be a nightmare to put together a set list, right?
I can tell you, this is definitely a nightmare, you know. I mean, you cannot satisfy everybody. We try to make it always like interesting, you know, but you have to play some older UDO stuff, you know, they're already classic, like Animal House, They Want War, whatever, Man and Machine and stuff like that. Then you want to play, of course, stuff from the new album, or six songs. And now, of course, I was not really happy to do accept songs after doing the Dirk Schneider thing for 3 years, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was a little bit too quick to say I don't play and never again accept songs. But, you know, the people want to hear it, you know. And then to make a really set list, you know, with all that stuff in there, boo, 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 this is really, I tell you, this is a nightmare. But in the end, we do always our best. And, of course, then you have people always say, you didn't play this song and you didn't play this song. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Maybe next time.
Yeah, no, but that keeps things fresh. I think you're always changing the set list, so that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let me ask you about another release this year, which is a live album of Plovdiv, which you did when COVID was still widespread. What was the atmosphere like at that show? I mean, people hadn't seen a show in a long time, I assume, there. Right.
Yeah, I try to make it short, you know. If we get the offer to do our promoter where we work with in Bulgaria, he said, yeah, I want to do a show, open air show. And then we said, are you sure, you know, that we have a serious pandemic going on? Yeah, no problem. That will be, everything will be easy. And then we said, yeah, okay, we will see. So, and then in the end, the whole thing was happened. And yeah, and then we saw they were sending us some pictures, you know, from this beautiful venue. And then we said, whoa, yeah, if that really now happened, let's make record the whole thing, film the whole thing. Yeah, we were flying then to Bulgaria, and it works, you know. Yeah. I mean, for us, it was also, I mean, we didn't play for nearly 1 year. And then for us, it was like a really emotional evening, you know. And then also another thing was like, okay, we're expecting maybe 500, 800 people. And there was nearly 3,000 people there, you know. It was like, what? Wow. And yeah, and I mean, of course, we gave, I think, not only 100%, 150%, you know, that was really like, yes, to play in front of people, and also the audience was enjoying the whole thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Of course, it was hungry to see a show. Yeah, yeah, that was a really, really, really fantastic evening. And I think if you listen to the live album and watch the DVD, I mean, I think you can feel and see the atmosphere.
Absolutely, I can. Yeah, I love that live setting, that stage in there. There's a lot. Oh. There's a few other releases on that same place. It's simply amazing.
Yeah.
And in parallel with that, there was another release you were involved in recently, Dear Schneider and the Old Gang, with Peter Baltz and Stefan Kaufman. Can we expect more from this band, or was this a one-time thing?
That was, in a way, a charity thing, you know, for the crew of UDO and the band members of UDO. I mean, these three songs what we had is, it was normally leftover stuff for the VR1 album with the orchestra, you know.
Okay.
So, and then Stefan Kaufman came up and said, hey, come on, you know, all the guys need money. We do everything for free. And then tried to make a contract. And so AFM was, they liked the idea. It was easy to make a contract. And so, and all the money was going to the crew and the members of UDO. Yeah, and of course, the people, when we start putting this on YouTube, I mean, the reaction was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know? And it was nice to work together with Peter and Stefan. I mean, with Stefan, I mean, of course, he was the drummer and except and in UDO, the guitar player, producer for a long, long time. And and then with my old guitar player, Matthias Dietz, you know, we was always in contact. And then Stefan said, maybe can you call him? Maybe he can do the guitar. Yeah, then he said, yeah, I was not playing for 15 years, but anyway, I tried to do it again. Yeah, and then the girl, the female singer, Manuela Markowitz, she was already working with us on the We Are One album.
Right.
And then, of course, my son on drums and myself, you know. And, of course, now the people asking, is there coming more? Mm-hmm. But I don't want to say no. But maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe we're putting an album together, but I don't know when, you know. If we have time, if we have enough material, you know, it was a lot of fun, you know, without any pressure, just making music, you know. That was the nice thing about it. And then if we have time and have enough material, why not putting out an album with this lineup, you know. But it's not a new band, it's just a project.
Okay, okay.
Enjoying making music. That's
fair enough. Fair enough. And your voice is still strong and still evolving. I mean, everyone's voices go through changes, right? But yours is still, you're still available to sing everything from your career. How do you take care of it these days and maintain it?
I do, in a way, be honest, nothing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I do, I go every year to a doctor, check everything, and I never had any problems, you know. It's like, I think I'm really, really lucky with my voice, you know. So, yeah, what can I say? I mean, I hope it works for many, many, many more years.
Yeah. And but when you started, nobody else sang like that, except for maybe Brian Johnson from AC/DC. What was the point when you thought, you know, this style might work? That's what I want to do. This is the style I want to go with.
Yeah, it was in the really beginning. I started the whole musical thing, music-wise, together with Michael Wagener. And then after a while, there was a guitar player coming also to us. And then, you know, I was always singing in the beginning when we did, I don't know, a lot of rock and roll stuff and some stuff. And then the people say, wow, this voice is something different, you know?
Yeah.
And then in the end, I started with keyboard, then I was not good enough on keyboard, then just did, you could end up in only singing. And I never was trying to copy somebody. I always was doing my own stuff, you know? I was working on my own technique. Vocal wise, it is unique, and that's also a thing. Not everybody has this, you know. But no. If you put, an Accept album on or UDO, whatever, then you know exactly who it is, you know, and that's a good thing about this.
Absolutely, and you're very lucky too, because the way you use your drive. With that intensity, a lot of your contemporaries have lost the voice completely, right?
Yeah, I know.
Axl Rose went through a phase where he couldn't sing anything, and now he seems to be a little bit better, but, you know, it does wear your voice out, so much drive.
But, I know a lot of colleagues, you know, in this business, they have some problems with the voice, you know, they cannot sing really like they did before, you know?
Yeah.
But it's sometimes all a matter of age, you know? But for me, I don't know. It works, so I'm lucky.
Yes, yeah. And, of course, you started in the 70s and 80s, and there's still a market for that exact sound that you created, that you helped create with Accept. Why do you think metal is still so relevant today?
I think it's, in a way, you know, music is handmade music, is coming from really from the heart, you know, and it's like, it's hard to explain, you know. Sometimes, let's say, for example, pop music, you know, the lyrics are not really deep, they're just like, oh, baby, I love you, whatever, and stuff like that. And in metal or this kind of music, what we are doing, I think, you know, lyric wise, okay, some bands, they're only talking about pirates, dragons, middle age or whatever. But also I know a lot of bands, they're talking about what's happened in the world, you know, and then it's like also the music and I don't know. I mean, definitely also, I don't know who it was, but it said, okay, For example, ballads, metal, a ballad from a metal band is always something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's like, see the Scorpions, you know, Still Loving You. It's a great, great song, you know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, something has happened with this kind of music, you know, and it still works. And I think this, what I said with this title, Metal Never Dies, you know. I see now already the last 4 years, there are a lot of young people are coming to the concert. That means there's, again, a new generation listen to this kind of music.
Absolutely, yeah, I've noticed that too. Yeah. Udo, last question for me. I know you have a few dates in South America early next year, right?
Yes,
and
yes,
the shows in Russia reschedule as well. What is the talk right now in terms of putting together like an extensive tour schedule like we used to have in the past?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's not, be honest also, I mean, it's not so easy anymore. But, you know, I found my way to do this, you know. I mean, but definitely next year. So the Russian tour is moved also to next year, you know, to February. And so that means it looked like also the European tour, what normally is planned for this year. It looks like, I know that already. We have to move this also to next year. So that means if everything happens like South America and Russia and the whole European tour, then we start in January and end up in the middle of May. That's the first thing.
Right.
That's a really long, long, long touring. And I know that there will be up some festivals in the summer. Mm-hmm. And then, they're talking about to come to America and Canada in September, October, you know. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
That okay. means, is everything happened? The year is nearly over then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm in Toronto, Canada, and there's been a lot of concert scheduled for here and then reschedule because things are still not 100%, but I hope by next year I get to see you live.
Yeah, I think in next year, September, October, I think there will be not everything normal and you can do that. Definitely, yes. I think so.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Udo, thank you so much for the interview. All the best with the new album.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone, thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this interview with Mr. Udo Dirkschneider. The interview is available on many different platforms, YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Also, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Let's wrap it up with the song Metal Never Dies from Udo's new album, Game Over. Take care and rock on!
First breath, the days were dark and gray. No belief, no hope, all had nothing to say. Then came the days of changes. I realized the truth. Woke me up, taught me how to fight.
My dream.